Good morning, Gina. This is Garrett West, pastor of First Baptist Gina, and this morning we'll continue exploring the question, what is God like? Today we'll look at one final summary attribute of God, and the final attribute in our study of what God is like, God's glory. Now, God's glory is unique among the attributes. On the one hand, it's one way of saying that God is ultimately worthy of worship. And on the other hand, it's also something that we can actually see. This morning, I want to start with the invisible aspect of God's glory. This first aspect of the word glory means something like honor, excellence, or supreme worth. Every other attribute of God, His nature, His actions, and His thoughts all contribute to His glory. Let me show you a couple of instances of this use in the Bible. 1 Timothy 1:17, "To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Isaiah 43:7 speaks of God's children in this way, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." So with all this groundwork laid, let's give a simple definition of God's glory. God's glory is the ultimate excellence of His entire being. His attributes, His character, everything about God is of the highest degree of excellence and worthy of infinite praise and honor. The short way of saying this is, God is glorious. Now, the passage we just heard from Isaiah reveals something very important concerning God's glory. It tells us that God's glory is the primary reason we were created. Man's highest purpose is to live for and magnify the glory of God. Everything we think, say, or do ought to all be for God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us, "Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." This is our purpose. This is why we were created, to give God glory, to highlight His glory. However, there are some who have a hard time accepting this purpose. The sinful nature within all of us warps us so that we invert our purpose, and instead of seeking God's glory, we seek our own glory. And as a consequence, when we hear the truth that we were created to glorify God, it rubs us the wrong way. We're tempted to accuse God of being self-centered, prideful, or vain. But if you tuned in when we spoke about God's jealousy, you'll remember that God cannot possibly have an excessively high opinion of Himself. He's perfect in all of His ways. He is actually worthy of glory and honor. It is due Him because of who He is and what He does. At the end of the day, our view of God's glory is one of the most glaring condemnations against us. The truth of the matter is that apart from Jesus, we do not think that God is glorious. Our thoughts, words, and actions prove it. So part of the work of Jesus on the cross is to restore our vision and our ability. It's to help us to see that God is indeed worthy of glory, and that it is good for God to seek His own glory in all things, including our lives. And it is to give us the ability to act on that new vision until the day when we will gaze upon His glory in eternity in heaven. If you're listening to this, you were created for God's glory. Are you living for it? If you're not a Christian, you aren't. The way to do this is to turn to Jesus, the Son of God, in faith and repentance so that you might be saved. Only then can you truly live for God's glory.